Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. For those of you joining us for the first time, I have been in the study of the Gospel of John now for several months. We started with John 1, now we're in John chapter 9. And last week I shared with you the beginning of the story of how the man who was born blind, after he had been healed by Jesus, gradually came to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, the light of the world. Today, we'll go more into detail in reference to this great story. The theme was that wherever there is light, that is the light of God, the righteous will be separated from the unrighteous. The first principle of all theology is found in Genesis 1, where it says, "And God said, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness." Now, what a lot of people have been trying to do throughout the centuries, religious people, people who claim to be Christians, is to make Jesus the great unifier, the great bridge builder between the darkness and the light. In essence, what they have been trying to do and continue to try to do is they're telling the ones who are righteous to give up some of their righteousness, the ones who are sinning to give up some of their sins so they can all meet in the gray middle area of life. This, my friend, is not in the nature nor the character of the triune God, for he is light and in him is no darkness at all. The fact that light creates turmoil, because when the light of God begins to shine, the evil deeds of men are revealed, is brought out in this particular passage. Because as Jesus is revealing himself more and more here, it resulted in a division among the Pharisees, and it resulted in a division in a home. So there's a division in the church, and there's a division at a home, wherever God's divine light is first revealed. Now, some of you say, but Pastor Schulze, isn't there ever going to be peace in the church, a unity in the church, or a unity in the home? And the answer is yes, indeed, indeed. But that does not come until the light and the darkness have been separated. This is why the only way a church can come to be a church of peace, where the glory of God is in our midst, is by the children of light separating themselves from the children of darkness. Then the church can come to unity, and it can experience the pure, wonderful power of the Holy Spirit, as she did in the early days when she was pure and white. For yes, Jesus was and is a divider of men. Wherever he went, it says there was a division because of him, and that will never change on the face of the earth. And that's true also in the family. I recall that when I found the Lord Jesus at 16 years of age, and I came back to my home as a Christian, there was a certain amount of turmoil and upheaval in the home, because when the family wanted to do certain things and talk about certain things, I would no longer have part in those things. I would no longer go to some of the places they went. I was now trying to follow the light. Whenever our family was going into some gray area or questionable area, I would refuse to participate because I was now under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is something that Jesus is drawing our attention to when he says in the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall they be they of his own household." And it says, "And he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." In John chapter 9, we see this illustrated. The man who was healed from blindness came to a gradual recognition as to who Jesus is, and as he followed the light of truth all the way, it created division among the Pharisees, and it created division in his own family. Now let's go back to our text. The man is now healed, And see, he goes back into his neighborhood. And the first response is from his neighbors, these neighbors who had seen him leave his house with a little cane stumping along all the way to the temple for years and years, day after day. Now he comes home without the cane. He comes leaping and running and joyful. And do you know what happened? Why? You would think that all of them in that neighborhood would immediately praise the Lord for this great, wonderful miracle of God's grace. But no, not a word of praise, but rather disturbed and sad and confused faces. Oh, my friend, that is what he meant. Dear one, how hard are the hearts of men, of even many religious people, how hard can they be when all worshipers of God, all these people here were praying people, people reading the Bible and going to the synagogue, when all these worshipers of God couldn't find any praise to God for this great, mighty miracle of the Lord. And so they took him to the Pharisees. They took him to their church leaders. How often does this occur in these days when someone in our churches has a miraculous experience with God, is marvelously transformed in one way or another, and comes into the sanctuary, and instead of there being a great joy and praise to the Lord, there are faces that speak of darkness and of deep concern. The neighbors didn't know what to do with this man born blind, now seeing. First, some of them couldn't believe that this is really the man who lived amongst them all these years, and others said he is. And then they tried to figure out how could this possibly have happened. And then the man born blind said, well, he said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and received sight. These neighbors wanted to know where this man Jesus was at. Well, the man born blind didn't know, and so they took him to the Pharisees. Since you couldn't get any praise of God out of the neighbors or the parents or this for this great miracle, certainly you would get a lot of praise to God out of these spiritual leaders called the Pharisees, wouldn't you? But no, my friend, you could not get one little ounce of enthusiasm from any of the Pharisees because it was on a Sabbath day that this miracle was done. For the Pharisees, they didn't care what kind of miracle occurred. If it was not done in a legitimate, correct, technical way, according to their law, as they saw it, it lacked validity, and it probably was of the devil. Yes, dear one, what is seen? What is seen is this in that congregation there at the temple. The Pharisees then go through the same cross-examination with that young man, even as the neighbors did. Listen, this young man had no idea what he was going to face after he left Jesus, right after the healing. He thought he would be facing a lot of happy people, but instead he received one cross-examination after another about how it was done and who he thought the man who did it was. Well, so he gives his answer to the Pharisees on the miracle as they question him. Therefore, the Bible says, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, referring to Jesus, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Yes, it is reaffirmed. Wherever Jesus went, there was division. There was a division because of him, and here it is amongst the Pharisees. To some Pharisees, the miracle was too great that it could not have been, but that God did it. Because since the creation of the world, there was no record of any man ever having been healed who was born blind. So God had to do it. And others said this man could not have been of God because it was done on the Sabbath. Fortunately, this discussion was all good for the blind man, or the man having been born blind, in the long run, because it drew him into thinking about who Jesus really was. Friends, I want you to know this man born blind was sharper and quicker in spiritual perception than the Pharisees, because at this discussion, he immediately decided that Jesus was a prophet. Now, the Pharisees, who did not believe Jesus was of God or would not believe the miracle, they had two choices. The one was to deny that the miracle ever happened, and the other was to say this is a case of mistaken identity. So they went to the parents of this boy, hoping to prove that this never happened. But his parents affirmed that this was indeed their son, and that he was born blind, and that he now sees. And then his parents were asked to explain how this miracle happened, and then, my friends, the parents tell a lie, a straight lie, because they say, "By what means he now seeth, we know not." I say, lie, lie, lie. Or, who has opened his eyes, we know not. Lie number two, lie, lie, lie. And then there's John's explanation. He says, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." Losing church membership? No way. We'd just as soon tell a lie and another lie and as many lies as it takes than to lose church membership. No, we were born in this church. We will die in this church, no matter what the truth may be. But thank the Lord for this man born blind. He had another heart and another mind altogether. He said, "I will follow the truth wherever it leads me, and even if I lose my church membership, it does not matter if my baptismal record is destroyed, my confirmation record is destroyed, if I can never have a church wedding or ever have a church funeral, I will follow the man of God." Oh, may you and I follow the man of God, whoever it is, the man who's sent of God. And then by us following the man of God, we will follow Jesus who sent him. Now the Pharisees engaged this young man in a conversation, in a dialogue. And dear ones, it gets to be very, very hot, inflammatory discourse. So the Pharisees asked the man, "How did this happen?" And now this young man develops what I call a certain amount of sanctified spiritual cockiness. He said, "I told you already, and you did not hear." In other words, with all your brilliance and education, it seems you have a rather short memory. "Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" Oh, yes, if that ever dropped the bombshell. No, they had no intention to be Jesus' disciples. They had intentions to kill him. This man born blind, being so thrilled about what Jesus had done for him, then begins to preach to them. He begins to lay forth the most philosophically, logically, and sound case to prove that Jesus is indeed of God, by saying, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." The man born blind was cast out of the synagogues, my friend, and that news spread all over the temple. It came to Jesus, and then Jesus says, finds him, and Jesus says to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And then Jesus reveals himself to this man, falls down and worships the Lord. Well, hallelujah. My theme was, wherever there's light, the light of God, the righteous are separated from the unrighteous. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.